What should you be doing in your early 20s? I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer, with my co-host, my little sister, Reem Awad.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we decided for this show, we're going to answer that question. And what better than me being interviewed by someone in their early 20s on what you should be doing in your early 20s? So Reem, I told you to come up with a topic, and this is the one you came up with. Why, before we get started, why did you want to talk about this specific question?
Well, I'm 24 years old, and I feel like I've gotten to a point just like, dude, I finished my undergrad, I'm really good at marketing, I'm really good at social media marketing, but like, what's my next big step? I feel like I'm stuck, and I really want to pass a point in my life where I'm just like, you know what? This is what I can do, and this is what I can do for the rest of my life. So my question is, how do I pass that milestone of what do I do next? Like, how do I get a lot better?
I think you should stack up on skills. And there are certain life skills that really matter. And I think everyone in life should have these basic fundamental skills. And for me, selling is a very important and fundamental skill. Selling is the same as marketing. You have to know how to market yourself before you can market anyone else. And you worked at Cutco for like a year or two and you were selling knives, and there's nothing harder than selling a $2,000 set of knives to someone who really doesn't need them. And so selling luxury items and things that people don't need is a great experience, and you already have that. So boom, check. The second thing is being so confident in the career path that you've chosen that nothing can shake you away from it. So you have to believe so much in social media marketing and knowing that it's going to add so much value to other people's lives and their companies that no amount of money and no other job opportunity is going to deter you from it. So for me, becoming a personal injury lawyer, I had to leave good to become great. I had to leave Joker's Audio, making millions of dollars a year as a company. I had like what, maybe 5-10 employees, was doing online sales, I was traveling, like it was a fun business. But it was a nonstop grind and hustle, and like I knew that it was going to reach a certain cap, a certain limit. And so I had to leave that behind. And in leaving it behind, I had to take 3 years of law school plus another 2 years to build up my practice, 5 years off to really get to a point where I can pursue personal injury. So whatever you're doing in the past, whatever you're doing to make money now, you have to actually cut that off completely. And the only way you're going to cut off your past, the only way you're going to leave good to become great, is by having so much unshakable confidence in what you plan to do for the rest of your life. That's it. So stack up on skills. I think sales is number one. Two is confidence. And you only get confidence by doing something over and over again, which means you have to stop doing everything else. That's how it works. You have to stop accepting other opportunities because it's going to deter you from what you really want to do. There's only 168 hours in the week. 100 hours of those are going to be for sleeping, eating, communicating, traveling. That's it. So you might have 60, 70 hours in the week left to actually do work. If you're focused on three different opportunities, and I was talking to this lawyer yesterday that was like, he literally messaged me on Instagram, was like, hey man, how do you get these big settlements? And I told him, proper case management. He's like, what does that mean? What do I do? How can I grow? How can I get better? And I looked at his website. I went to his page first, and he had employment law listed, personal injury law listed, and then he had another page where he was teaching people how to invest in cryptocurrency and trading. It was like day trading with this lawyer. And I'm like, so I sent him a voice message, and the voice message was basically this. Hey, bro, I don't know where you're at in your life, but you're doing too much. And it's not because you're doing too much and making a lot of money. It's because you're doing too much and not focusing on one thing. So you really need to focus on just one thing and become the absolute best at that one thing. And in doing that one thing, it's going to keep you from doing everything else. And so he immediately responded and said, all right, I deleted everything off my page. I'm not going to take any more of these types of cases. I'm only going to focus on this one thing. Now what? I said, okay, now you go as deep as you possibly can in that knowledge. So skills, check. Confidence, check. Step three, go as deep as you can in that knowledge. Because no one wants surface level people. No one likes surface level knowledge. And when you're talking to someone and you feel like, man, how do they know so much? Like, how did you get to a point where you know this much? That's what you need to be striving for. That should be your goal. And so in social media marketing, that means you need to understand all of the different platforms. You need to understand all the different trends. You need to understand how to create viral content, how to shoot viral content, how to run ads. You need to learn how to run ads on all the different platforms. You need to know the difference between what a lead is, what a client is, what conversion rates are. You need to know all the terminology around marketing. And like, you have to go deep as you possibly can, because it's like law. Well, you could be an expert in one area of law. You can't be an expert in all the areas of law. So you have to figure out that one. If you're saying, okay, I'm going to go with marketing, I'm going to hone in on social media, and then from there, I'm going to hone in on video marketing, and from there, I'm going to hone in on videos under 1 minute, and I'm going to become the absolute best at creating short viral content and running them as ads and building viral brands for people through video. That's a specialty. So marketing is great. Going a little bit deeper and saying social media marketing is better. Going a little bit deeper and saying focusing on the video platforms is even better. And then focusing on just vertical video content that goes viral and learning how to run ads and build people's brands. Now you have a niche that everyone wants to go after. So you really have to like go down that funnel to a point where you're literally looking for like one ideal client per city, per state, and then you capitalize from there. Because once you have that first client and you start really, really building and over-delivering to that one person, you can use their testimonials as leverage to get additional clients. But you don't get there unless you have salesmanship, you have confidence, and you get rid of everything else and just focus on this one thing that's super highly focused and niche down. And then you have to do it. You actually have to do the work. So talking about it won't really get you anywhere. You have to do it every single day. And no one spends like, all right, I'm gonna take the next 6 months really becoming an expert at this one thing and just focusing nonstop. No one does that anymore. And that's why most people are mediocre in their careers.
And unmotivated, which makes me wonder. So, I mean, you've had to at least have some of these days that you're just like, man, I'm just not feeling it. I'm gonna sleep in. I mean, only if you're normal, I would assume you'd have those days.
I have a lot of those days.
So like, what makes you like get out of that mindset? Is it, do you have like sticky notes around? I have sticky notes around that tell me, you know, like I'm the boss, you know what I mean? But like, what do you, how do you snap out of that? Do you just have that goal in mind and you're just like, you know what, this is it. I have a plan. This is what's gonna happen. Or do you do like wake up and do a couple jumping jacks, get a good workout in? What makes you snap out of that, okay, I don't need this unmotivation?
What keeps me motivated?
Yeah.
Other people holding me accountable.
Okay. So you're like having that stress?
Yeah, how do I do that? I put things on my calendar that forces me to be there. Like right now I have a call at 1 p.m. It's on my calendar. I'm going to make it. If we have to cut this podcast short for me to go to that Zoom call, I'm going to do it. But similarly, if I would have slept in today, I'd have to wake up at 1 to be at that meeting. So when I put things on my calendar, it's serious. Like I'm actually going to do it. I only cancel if like I'm literally unavailable or incapacitated. So putting myself on these, because I don't like letting other people down. Okay. I can let myself down. I do it all the time, but I don't like letting other people down. Like my wife, like my parents, like my siblings, like my employees, like my colleagues. I don't want to let other people down. I want to always be the man. And the way that you're the man or the woman is by forcing yourself to be accountable. So you put things on your calendar. You say, hey, I'm going to be there at this time and I'm going to deliver. And if you show up late and you don't deliver, you know I'm destroying my career and destroying my potential with this person. So it's you have to tie that motivation with an action that if you don't perform that action, the pain that comes from not performing it is far bigger than the lack of motivation and getting up out of bed. Like it's much stronger than that.
Do you think you're as motivated as you were when you first started your business? Or actually, I guess a better word would be as hungry. Like when you first started your company, you know, you're hungry for that money. You're hungry for those clients. What about now? Like, has it slowed down a bit? Yeah, I know you recently had your little baby. So does that change? Does that make you want to work harder? Does that make you hungrier? Because you're just like, whoa, I'm responsible for this little human being. Does that make you want to work harder? Does that make you hungrier? How does that play a role in your business?
I'm still hungry. It's just a different type of hunger. I'm learning more about myself. Like, I don't need to take every single phone call, respond to every single email, share every single post. I don't need to be doing that. It makes me hungrier to build systems and empower leaders in my organization. So, I mean, I'm going to take a month off, you know, here at the end of the month and just literally travel through Europe with my family and just enjoy myself. I'm more excited and motivated about that than anything else going on in work. We settled $3-4 million in cases last week. That wasn't even exciting, but this vacation is going to be exciting. And what's even more exciting is I'm going to force myself to turn my phone off some of those days. Oh. Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to level up in the things that actually matter, because here's the thing. I'm still hungry, but I'm hungry in a different way. In the beginning, I was just hungry about building my business and just making money and to survive. That's it. And I didn't have a work-life balance. It was, if I'm awake, I'm working, and that's it. That's all you're gonna do from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you close them. And even while you're sleeping, you're dreaming about work. And that's it. During that time, you don't have time for family. You don't have time for friends. You're not going out. You're probably getting out of shape. The smart people are the ones that actually exercise to make that part of their routine. I didn't. I got fat, I got back pain, I got, you know, lazy and depressed and unhappy, but I was like, whatever it takes, I'm gonna make as much money as I can. And then once you have the core foundation, I call it a critical mass, then you can start improving other parts of your life. Say, okay, well, maybe it's time for me to buy a home because I wanna have that comfort in my life, because I think the value of the comfort and my peace of mind is more valuable than the money. Okay, that's a bad investment. Buying a home is a bad investment. We can talk about that on another show, but I'm gonna do that because it's gonna make my family happy. And then you say, okay, I wanna take more vacations. What's it gonna cost for me to take that so that I can focus more on work when it's important and be able to enjoy myself on these vacations? And you have to practice at it. You're not gonna be good at vacationing the very first time you go. Most people are not good at vacations because they don't take enough of them. You have to get good at taking vacations. So it's kind of crazy to think about. If you take 6 vacations a year, I bet you you're going to get really, really good at taking vacations. You're going to know exactly how to deal with the hotel concierge. You're going to know where to rent cars or what Ubers to take. You're going to be exploring different websites to know what adventures are the best ones to pursue. You're going to get really good at vacations. So for me, it's just increasing the level of activity in everything that matters. So work doesn't matter as much now that I have my son and I'm married and I have a home and I actually have other responsibilities. So now where can I increase the level of activity? I'd rather increase it instead of with my 50 employees one-on-one. I'll take the 5-10 leaders, build them up, give them some training and say, okay, I'm going to step away and let's see how you perform. And you monitor it. You jump back in when you need to and you step away when you should. That's how you let a business grow. It's like raising a kid. You got to let the kid do his thing. I mean, I know he hits his head all the time. Adam literally walks around and hits his head all the time. Like, eventually he's going to learn. Well, eventually my employees are going to learn. The only difference is I'm the one paying for their mistakes. So the same thing applies in vacations. The same thing applies with your relationship with your mom. The same thing applies with your education. There are times and places in your life that you should be focusing 100% of your effort on them. So there's no work-life balance. When I'm in like my bodybuilding and exercise mode and I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna take the next 3 months off to just get shredded, I get shredded. Mm-hmm. But my finances sometimes suffer, my relationship sometimes suffers. So it's kind of like, you gotta take moderation. But my moderation is I'm gonna go all in on this for the next 3 months. Like this year, the summit, we have the CEO Lawyer Summit, I'm gonna go all in on that for those 3 months. It just so happens that it's gonna be right when I get back from my Europe trip. And then I'm going to be marketing heavily, going to speaking events all over the country, talking to lawyers, networking, going all in on that summit. I know I'm going to lose money in my law firm. I know I'm going to have probably some fights with family and friends. I know that I'm going to probably lose a couple of people along the way, the people that aren't really 100% committed to the vision in my law firm. But that's okay, because that's what I'm going all in on right now. And just kind of taking it back to that first question, how do you get better is by forcing yourself to do things to the point where you build confidence. So now I have confidence in my summit. I'm going to spend $1 million on this event. I'm literally going to write a check for $1 million and pay for it from ticket sales and after stage sales when I sell the CEO Lawyer Academy. That's scary. That's weird. That's crazy to even think about. But I have the confidence because I did it last year and then I did it 2 years before that. So like that whole being motivated and like pushing through things is like you get motivated by knowing that not doing it is very painful. I know that when I write that $1 million check, I'm going to sell every last ticket in that room. Nice. Force yourself. That's it.
Well, do you think you're ever going to plan on retiring? Do you think, like, I feel like if I asked you that question maybe 5 years ago, you'd have been like, oh, heck no, you know, because we have the addictive personality type. You go all in and it just never stops. Like, do you think, do you have a certain type of time, like maybe when you're 40 or 50, if you want to retire, or maybe you'll pass on the company?
I think people only retire from what they consider work that they don't enjoy. So there's no reason to quit doing something that you enjoy. If it makes you happy, it makes you fulfilled, and it happens to make you a lot of money, there's no reason to stop. I will quit doing the things that are very stressful and that I don't enjoy. Those parts of the job I will retire from. I've already retired from most of them. But no, everything, I mean, if anything, I feel like we're going to go more international. It's going to be more traveling, and it's, I don't think it's going to be retiring. What are you gonna do? What do people do when they retire anyway?
Just like vacation, you know. That's what you've been practicing anyway.
But I already vacation. I mean, I'll do more of it. Yeah, I'll probably vacation more, but that doesn't mean I'm not gonna check in on emails, or take calls, whatever it's gonna be in 20, 30 years. Metaverse, you know, put the thing on your head and like, hey, I see what you're doing. Get back to work. I'm still gonna check in. Like, I need that part of my life. And the crazy thing is, I have most of my friends are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Not 70s, 50s and 60s. Most of my friends are in their 50s and 60s. And what I realize, the reason that they're my friends is because when you get to that age, you've already experienced so much in your life and you know what you really, really want. And you've cut out all the you've cut out all the bad friends and the bad influences. And you just do the things that you actually enjoy. And those people, the reason they're my friends is because they're still aggressive business people. They love working, they love building, they love investing, and that's, they can talk about it all day. And they don't have all the baggage of like drama and hanging out with bad influences and things like that. People in their 20s and 30s have a lot of that baggage. So it's very hard for me to relate to people that are in their 20s and 30s. But my friends that are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, they've been through that. And when I see that they're still hungry, it makes me realize I'm probably never going to retire. Definitely not going to retire from the things that I enjoy. I'm only going to be doing more of them.
Well, that brings me to my last question. Do you think you'll ever plan on selling your company? Inshallah, maybe, you know, when it reaches a point where it's worth a lot more money than it is now, do you think you'll ever plan on selling it?
So
it's probably like your baby, huh?
Yeah, but here's the thing. People consider successful entrepreneurs those that can build companies and exit from them. So you build a company, you get it to a point where it's making a lot of money, and then you sell it and move on to the next thing. That's what's considered an expert entrepreneur, okay? But my law firm is kind of like a legacy. So what if that legacy were to be passed down to my son or to my future children, and they want to be involved with it? Well, wouldn't I want to give them that infrastructure and build them up and train them from the moment they know how to, you know, read and write exceptionally well to the moment they go through college and law school and build them into that machine? If they don't want it, then yeah, I'll probably sell the whole thing. But to accomplish what I think is a perfect entrepreneur, I have to build businesses to sell. The law firm is not a business that I feel like is a good candidate to sell because of the valuation of law firms. So most of the time when you're looking at how much a company is worth, you're looking at its EBITDA, its earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. That's what EBITDA stands for. If a company is in the tech space, usually they'll give you a multiple of 15 to 30 times EBITDA. So if you're making $1 million a year as a tech company, they'll pay you $15 to $30 million for that company. That's because of the way tech companies are valued due to having so much data and doing to having very low overhead and very high profit margins. I'm not in that industry. Law firms have a 2 to 3x EBITDA valuation. So let's say I make, and by the way, I know the numbers of pretty much all the major law firms in the US, and I'll go ahead and just share them with you. The best lawyers in every state are usually doing between $50 to $60 million a year in revenue. Okay. The best lawyers in every state. And their goal is to be between a 25 to 40% profit margin. If they're at 25%, it's comfortable and good. If they're at 40%, they're exceptionally profitable. Let's take that highest end. 40% profit margin, okay, at a $60 million a year revenue. That's $24 million a year in profit. That's $2 million in attorney's fees in profit every single month on average. A good valuation of that company would give them 3 times that company value. So 24 times 3 is 72. So someone would come in and buy the company for $72 million. In addition, they would have value on the brand equity, how big of a brand you've built, all the real estate that comes with it, the inventory of cases that you have. You probably would have built a $100 million company. That's just how law firms are valued. So when you think about it, okay, if I got to the top of my state and someone were to say, hey, I'll buy your entire law firm for $100 million. First of all, no one's going to do that because your law firm is the brand of your name. And people probably don't want to buy your name. They want to buy everything that's involved. So you have to change your law firm name to not be your name, be a company name. Second, $100 million cash up front, you'll have to pay 40, 50% in taxes on it. So you're only going to walk away with like $50 million net. And you're already making $2 million a month in profit on autopilot. So why would you even sell it? It's already a cash cow and you're enjoying it. Plus all the people that are around you. Like, you enjoy these people. You enjoy paying them. You enjoy knowing your team members. So with all that being said, I don't think a law firm is actually a very profitable business to build and sell. So
it just makes sense to keep growing and growing.
Yeah, and building it to a point where you can just kind of take all the cash that you want and enjoy that and invest it in other things. But with that being said, I have like 7 other companies that I'm also running simultaneously. 3 of them I think will sell. And they are in the tech space and they're in the data space. So those I can build to like $5 million a year, sell it for $150 million. And that's like, well, I clearly won in that game. Because the game of entrepreneurship requires you to get a business, build it, and sell it. And I don't think the law firm is a greatly sellable business. So I don't think I'll sell the law firm for all those reasons. Notice it's not like, obviously the legacy is important, the emotion is important, but practically speaking, the only reason I need to sell something is just because I'm trying to fulfill a need. The monetary need is not there. I don't need the money. And to fulfill the need of being a successful entrepreneur, I'll buy and sell a different business. So I don't think so.
Okay. Well, honestly, those were the questions I had, especially, you know, being 24 years old, still trying to figure out, you know, and what's next. And it seems like you covered it pretty well, man.
Well, here's the thing. When you're in your early 20s, my biggest advice is to stack up on your skills. That's the most important thing that you can do. If you focus on just social media marketing and that's what you want to do for the next 5 years, you'll still be in your 20s and be an expert at social media marketing and build a lot of connections and a lot of knowledge in that space and still have time to shift gears. But most people are wasting their time. You have to pick something and just go all in on it. It doesn't matter if you mess it up for the next 1 or 2 years. It really doesn't. You just have to believe that it's going to be worth it. And the way that you believe something is worth it is by looking at what everyone else is doing in that space and finding someone that you want to copy. The same way I had that story with the that 45-year-old attorney that had a $20 million verdict, and when he was presenting like 8 years ago about his case, I saw what he was doing and I wanted to emulate it, and I'm like, I want to be like this guy. Well, that's why I have that confidence. Like, I want to do this for a very long time. And the only reason I'm successful is because I don't do other things. at least not for the first 5 years. I can do other things now because I have the luxury to do it. And I can do it. But in the beginning, you don't do anything else. So I turned down all the immigration cases, criminal defense cases, business cases. I turned down everything. I stopped selling online. I stopped going to Joker's Audio. I stopped talking to people in the car audio and wheel space. I cut myself out of that completely. For anyone in their early 20s, you have to cut yourself away from who you were before and focus on what you want to become over the next 5 years. And give it time, man. You try something for 3 months, 6 months, and it's still not working, that's not enough time. Try it for 5 years. We're going to live till we're 80, inshallah. So, like, you got a long time.
Inshallah.
That's it. So I know that was, like, a lot of different things that we covered, but honestly, if I could go back to my early 20s self, the only advice that I could think about, because I feel I don't have any regrets. I feel like I did everything that I needed to do. All I would say for me personally is to be nicer to people, because you never know when those people, you're either going to be working for them or you're going to be working with them. In general, you should just be a nicer person. And the other thing is, the true masters, like the real bosses, don't put other people down. You don't have to flex your muscles on other people to show them I can crush you like a worm. You bring other people up. And by bringing them up, they are more inclined to like you and to want to work with you. The real bosses are always smiling and they're very cordial with their competitors. But deep down, that aggressive nature, they don't bring it out against other people. They do it with their actions. So the loudest mouths usually come from the cheapest seats. You can be a boss through your actions. You don't have to even tell people, like, I hate when people are posting on Instagram, hey, I'm moving in silence, making moves behind the scenes. Hey, I'm moving in silence, watch me, guys. Like, dude, you're not moving in silence. If anything, you're moving very loudly and you're going nowhere. So the real bosses are the ones that let their actions speak for themselves. And now I think I'm kind of coming full circle, because my competitors have hated me for so long, now they're starting to like me. It's like I've already felt all the emotions of hatred and, you know, dissatisfaction and disappointment with this person. Let me try something new. And hey, I guarantee you're going to enjoy liking me way more than you're going to enjoy disliking me.
Yeah, I mean, you're not too bad. I kind of like you.
I'm talking about my competitors. You have no choice. You're my sister. But that's it. I mean, I think we covered it.
I think so too. I think you covered it more than enough, to be honest.
Okay, good. Well, if anyone has any other questions, please DM me on Instagram or comment on my YouTube channel. I would love for you guys to subscribe and get your feedback, because my team has been encouraging me to do more like lifestyle content, talking about my family and my history and stuff, instead of just business and legal advice. So if you like that stuff, let me know with your comments. Thank you all so much for tuning into the CEO Lawyer Podcast. I'm attorney Ali Awad.
I'm Remo.
And we'll see y'all on the next one.
Bye.